Ephesians, here in Ephesians chapter number 4. I've written again some things on the board here, and I apologize for those that might not be able to see the lower part of the board. That's what I was mentioning. Maybe we'll figure out a way to kind of raise that up with the mounts and everything, but might be a little bit hard to see the bottom part of the board there. But let's pick up here again at Ephesians 4, verse 17. Last week we just highlighted verse 17 down to verse 19, and we're going to kind of review a little bit today and then go on. But he says, Ephesians 4:17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you that we can gather together each and every week here and open your word and sing the songs of faith, songs that express the truth that has come from your word to penetrate into our heart and then to bring forth praise and thanksgiving and joy to you for who you are and what you have done. And we pray and ask God that as we study through and think about these verses this morning, that we would allow your word to equip us and to enable us to walk in the light, because that's where you have placed us. And it is in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we ask this. Amen. All right, so I want you to notice up on the board here, I wrote two different scenarios. And you can see on the left here, the title is Darkness. On the right, the title is Light. Over on the left here, I've got things like a mind is vain. It's got no purpose. Understanding, it's darkened. You've got alienated from the life of God, from the resource of what true life is actually is. Inside is ignorance, a heart that's willfully blind and yet given over to serving self. Look again, this is review from last time. Look at verse 17. Let me emphasize some words. Verse 17 to verse 19. 4:17 to 19. The word vanity, verse 17. Verse 18, darkness, alienated, ignorance, blindness. 19, past feeling, lasciviousness, uncleanness, greediness. Is that a place you want to live? But you know, in this present evil world, that is where we live. Just from the scenario that's out there, the sin, the curse, the fall, things like that. Now, by contrast, look at verse 20. He says, "But ye have not so learned Christ," which means spiritually education has to occur. Otherwise, that word "learn" means nothing. Right? It also means that we are born on this side of the board. So education, edification has to take place. He says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is where?" Where is the truth? Don't you love that phrase, "the truth is in Jesus"? So according to verse 20 and 21, you have to learn something. You have to have heard, you have to be taught. So on this side of the board, we have the mind of Christ. We have therefore an understanding that has been enlightened. Christ is our life. So He's our resource. We're filled with the Word of God, which is what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Our hearts are open and hungry. And hence we want to walk after the Spirit. Now, this is a different neighborhood than this neighborhood. Wouldn't you agree? If you were going to go out and buy a home in one of those two neighborhoods, which neighborhood would you pick and why? Which one? This neighborhood over here. The one on the, just say the right side of the board. For those watching on the internet, I apologize because sometimes it's, you know, even though the camera's good, the quality's good and everything, sometimes my writing is terrible. You can't read what it's saying. But trust me, you want to buy the house on the right side of the board, not on the left side of the board. You want to buy in this neighborhood, not that neighborhood. Okay? Look at what the Apostle Paul says in chapter 5 of Ephesians. Look over to chapter 5, verse 8. Watch this. 5:8 says this. For ye, so he's talking about the group, the believers. For ye were sometimes what? But now are ye what? Light in the Lord, and so therefore what? Walk as children, walk as who you are. You see how he's saying there? Look at that verse. He doesn't say, for ye were sometimes in darkness. He says, you were darkness. But now, he doesn't simply say, but now are you in life? He says, you are life in the Lord. Understand this. As a result of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, Him personally, recognizing what He did for us on the cross when He died our death, shedding His blood as the payment for our sins, and then trusting Him. Our neighborhood, God took us out of this neighborhood and put us in this neighborhood. But we have to learn about it. We have to be taught. Where do we learn about it from? On CNN, right? On Yahoo, right? On Google. No. Where do we learn about it? You learn about it from the Word of God. When He says there at verse 20, 4:20, He says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard Him. I asked the question last week. How is it that the Ephesians heard Christ when Christ Himself personally never went to Ephesus? That's exactly right. Through Paul's ministry. Paul went there and taught them verbally and he wrote down the information for them. How do you and I hear Christ today? The same way. You don't hear Him audibly. You hear Him by reading what His Word says and trusting what His Word says. By hearing Him, who knows what Romans 10:17 says? Everybody here knows Romans. By hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The way we hear Christ is by hearing what He says to us through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. So that's how we learn of Him. That's how we're taught by Him. So let me ask you the questions. Back at chapter 5, verse 8. Back at chapter 5, verse 8. He says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. That's our position. That's our change, right? So what's His appeal at the end of verse 8? See what He's saying? He's saying, you used to live over here in this neighborhood. This is who you were in Adam by birth. And therefore, by practice, you were given to self. Your mind, you really had no purpose of any eternal value. From a human standpoint, they might have given you all different purposes, but it was of no eternal value. Your understanding was darkened. You didn't really see what was going on. You think that what you look at the world out there, that's what's going on. And you were alienated from the life of God. You were cut off from the very source of life itself. So what was in us was just, it wasn't the truth, it was the lie program, so it was ignorance. But we were willingly blind to go along with it. And hence we just serve self. We just serve self. By the way, again, when you look at the descriptions in verse 4, 17, 18, and 19, is that all very flattering to the human spirit and human nature? Do you see any good news in verse 17, 18, and 19 about human nature? Anything at all? I got a question for you. There's a view of humanity out there in the world that says that mankind is basically good. Just give him the opportunity and he will do good more than he will do bad. That's what they say. That mankind, in his heart, he's just a little sick, just a little off track, but basically he's good.
Our history does not support that.
Exactly right. History suggests something very different than that. How many of you have ever had your identity stolen before? Okay. How many of you have ever had your credit card number taken before? I just had it happen this week. You know? It's pretty weird. And those of you that haven't had it yet, y'all must not use it, okay? You must not use a credit card, whatever. But someone got my credit card number and everything, and they I think it must have been like Wednesday or Thursday, and they went and, you know, they got 3 or 4 different charges. It was interesting how quickly we got notified of it because the transactions, obviously, they don't fit the pattern kind of thing, which that's kind of a scary thing. Someone knows my patterns, right? So they know everything about you, you know? But anyway, so they called, Lori called, got it all straightened out, this and that. But we were just commenting how some people, they just think nothing about just utter thievery. Just nothing about it at all. And then Josh, you were telling me about, you saw that thing on Netflix called, was it The Big Picture?
Yeah.
And about crime. And how much money was... If you take the revenue, is what they're saying, the revenue of, what was it, Apple and Microsoft and all those big companies combined, that the revenue that's generated from crime dwarfs all of those combined. What's that? It's staggering to think about that. But understand this idea. So the saying that says, well, mankind really is basically good. They're basically honest. They'll do what's right. Really, history suggests otherwise. Very strongly, with evidence, suggests otherwise. And when you look at what Scripture says, it gives us an accurate description of why man does this down here. They're given to self because of what's the internal information functioning in them. Everyone, saved and lost alike, everyone does what they do as a result of internal information. Everyone does it. We all do what we do based on what we think, what we believe, what we trust to be reality. And the Apostle Paul, right there in Ephesians chapter 4, 17, he's saying, guys, the Ephesians, you guys have learned a different way of thinking because you've learned the true reality. You've learned the true purpose and meaning of life. We now have the mind of Christ. Where? What's that? Where do we have the mind of Christ?
In the Word of God.
That's correct. And that's an important distinction. Scripture is the mind of Christ. The Word of God rightly divided. Now, can we get it inside of us? Yes, that's Paul's point when he says you've heard him and have been taught by him, hence you've learned. So we want to get the mind of Christ in us. By getting the mind of Christ in us, then we're going to be pushing out of our programming all that former vain thinking that was in there. I've used the illustration about file cabinets. By the way, does this modern generation even know what a file cabinet is? They pull this little thing out of their pocket. It's about that big, you know, a flash drive. And it can hold like about the contents of about 20 file cabinets or whatever, you know. But imagine a file cabinet. It's your house. You've got all these file cabinets. You've got all these drawers full of files. And those drawers, each drawer represents different phases of your life, different things that you accomplished in your life, different goals and purposes. So you have all these files, all your history, all your life's built on that. And the problem is, it's no real eternal purpose of any eternal value. It's the wrong information. You're not relying on the right resource of what life is really about. Hence, what's all in there really is just darkness. But you gave yourself to it because it's what you thought reality was. And so now the Word of God comes along and says, you know what, how about if we do this? Let's open up all those file drawers. No, instead let's do this. Let's get a completely empty file cabinet. And let's start filling. Was that a sign to get a new file cabinet? Throw all the other stuff out? As soon as I said that, she kind of punched him like that. There must have been a message there. I actually love the way husbands and wife talk to each other at church in public. It's awesome, you know. Lori and I do the same thing, by the way. During the same year, she says this and I poke her this. Anyway, so you get that new file cabinet. And he says, what if we start putting new information in the file cabinet? So don't go appeal to that old file cabinet anymore. Appeal to this and put new information over here. Over here we have the mind of Christ. That's the Scripture. Therefore, our understanding now has been enlightened, or it can be. Christ is our life. We have a new resource. We can be filled with the Word of God. We want open and hungry hearts to the Word instead of hearts willing that are blind. And hence we can make a choice to walk out the Spirit. So again, he says, this is who we used to be. The left side of the board. This is who we are now. So, where should we walk? Should we walk in the old neighborhood or the new neighborhood? What's wrong with the old neighborhood? What's wrong with the old neighborhood?
We don't belong anymore.
We don't belong anymore. Why?
It's death.
It's death. That's dangerous over there. There's wrong information. It's nothing but lies over there. It's the wrong resource to base going forward in our life. What do we learn about the new neighborhood? We have the mind of Christ. We have God's Word. We do have the Holy Spirit. Christ is our life. We're in Christ. He is in us. Ken was bringing up this morning about this issue of righteousness, that Christ is our righteousness. We are in Him. It's not that I'm here and He's over there, and He's my righteousness over there, but I'm over here. I'm in Christ. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. In fact, look at that verse. Look over to 2 Corinthians. Look over to 2 Corinthians 5. Look over to 2 Corinthians 5, but also get 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, I'm going to start at verse 20. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Why did He do that? That we might be made the righteousness of God where? In Him. Those last two words are the most important words. The righteousness of God in Him. Christ is our righteousness. That was, did I give you the right verse? 2 Corinthians 5:21. This time, 1 Corinthians 1. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:30. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of Him. So the Him there is the Father. So this is the work that the Father did. This is the work that God did. He says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. So who is our wisdom? Christ is. And righteousness. So who is our righteousness? Christ is. And sanctification. So who is our sanctification? Christ is. And redemption. Christ is our redemption. See, all four of those things. Those things are true of us, not because of anything we did or deserved. It's because of who God has made us to be in the person of Christ. Our identity is in Christ. Verse 31 says that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory where? In the Lord. If you and I, if we could accomplish our own righteousness, our own wisdom, our own sanctification, our own redemption, then who would we glory in?
Ourself.
Turn back with me, if you would, to Ephesians 4 now. So see how he says, this is the neighborhood that God has put us in now, because He's put us in Christ. So let's walk over here. Let's carry on the business of life. Let's deal with the business of life. Let's view life. Let's respond to life from the fact that we now live in this neighborhood. Now, I got a question for you. Is that ever a challenge? Yeah, I all said no. Somebody else said yes. And those of you who said yes said it kind of mockingly. And not mocking, said it sarcastically. That's the right word, right? Why is that? I mean, when you look at the board, doesn't it seem obvious? This is bad neighborhood. The houses are all beat up, run down. Everything, it's all in foreclosure. Everything's bad over here. That's totally bad. This good neighborhood. Yards are nice and green. Flowers are planted. The gophers are not eating your grass. You guys know what I'm talking about. No, you come to my house. And the whole front yard and back there are totally destroyed by the gophers. But what's the use of watering anymore, kind of a thing. I mean, the streets are all clean over here. The light works, everything. People are all paying their mortgages. You know, nothing's foreclosed. No cars are getting towed. You know? When you just look at it, doesn't it seem like, well, duh. Right? Right? Well, then what's the struggle about? Why would Paul have to tell the Ephesians, and therefore me and you, why would he have to say, so, in the light of all this, in the light of chapter 1, you're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You're forgiven totally by the blood of Christ. You're part of the body of Christ. You're part of what God's going to do in the heavenly places, and God's going to take you and put you. So, in light of all this, don't walk there anymore. Doesn't that suggest the Ephesians war? So why, and we are, and do. So why would he have to tell us that? They were having good barbecues over there. terrible neighborhood, but man, they had the best barbecues, kind of a thing, you know? There's always something over there that attracts us, doesn't there, right? The tailgate parties, whatever. They might have some friends over there, yeah, you know, kind of a thing. Again, you look at it, it seems so obvious. So why the struggle? That's right. See, we still have that flesh. And your illustration of good barbecue, that is so spot on correct. It is. Because we're over here. Man, that barbecue. Man, the party's over there. Kind of a. See, our flesh is what happens. And so we kind of go back here for a while, don't we? Live over here for a while. And pretty soon, yeah, it did taste pretty good, but I ate too much of it and the onions, and now I have the acid indigestion, and oh boy, can I go back to this neighborhood over here? Kind of thing. Just practically see what happens there. And so we are aware of the fact that that struggle is there. The fact that he says, you wore sometimes darkness, but now you're light. So walk as children of light. The fact that he would have to write this down identifies for us that this is a battle. That this is a struggle. If and when we find ourselves back over here, this side, in this neighborhood, we should condemn ourselves, right? We should beat ourselves up, right? And say, you, come on, you call yourself a Christian. How could you do such a thing? You're just so off track, you're probably not even saved. We should do that, right? No. When Paul found the Ephesians, or when he writes to the Ephesians about where they ought to walk, what is it that he appeals to encourage them not to walk over here, but instead walk over here? Did he say, you guys, I cannot believe how long I've been teaching you, still don't listen to me, I'm saying, what's wrong with you guys? Can't you straighten up? He doesn't do it that way. He says, remember who you are. You wore that. You're this now. So walk like who you are. He appeals to grace because grace is sufficient. Whenever we find ourselves in a situation where we're back in the old neighborhood, what you want to do is this. Go back to chapter 4. Watch this. Here's the process. 22. 4, 22, 23, and 24. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There it is right there. That was 22, 23, and 24. That's Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. There's the process. Put off, be renewed, put on. It's just the renewal process. What does it sound, even if you don't know what that is, what does it sound like is happening there? Even if you don't know all the, you know, wherefores and whys and what ifs and the details of it, what does it sound like is happening in verse 22, 23, and 24? What's that? Okay, it is. It's a transformation, isn't it? That's interesting you bring up that word. Hold this verse here and go to Romans 12. Go to Romans 12. Hold Ephesians. We're going to come back and go to Romans 12 now. Look over to Romans 12. And I'm going to start at verse 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. See what he appeals to. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That was 12:1. Romans, did I give you the right reference? Romans 12:1. So he says, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See that there? To be conformed by this world is to live back based upon the thinking in the old neighborhood. To live how the old neighborhood lives. Just to live that way. To be transformed, we have to live in the light of the fact that we live in the new neighborhood. Now again, let me just use kind of ask the question here. If you've lived all your life over here on this side, in this neighborhood, the neighborhood called darkness, it's all you know. It's what your reality is. It's what you relate to. It's where you find your comfort. It's where you find your security because it's what you know. It's what you can relate to. And all of a sudden, you're moved out of that neighborhood and you're moved into this neighborhood. You understand how uncomfortable that's going to be for you? How come? It's a different world. It's a different reality. Your comfort zone is different. Just from a practical standpoint. So think about it spiritually what happens. When our inner man was filled with ignorance and the lie program, that's how we thought. That's how we evaluated things. That's how we determined what was okay and what was not okay. Now we get over here and little by little we're having new information put into our inner man. So there's going to be a constant challenge with what we used to believe. What we built our life on. What we found our security in. Our comfort zone. So we want to learn Scripture because it's Scripture that will properly identify that this is the old neighborhood. This is the new neighborhood. Don't be conformed to this side of the board, this world. Be transformed based upon an appreciation of that you're over here now. When he says, look at verse 1, you're still in Romans 12:1. Look at the last statement, the last phrase in 12:1. What's he say there? Which is your what? That word reasonable. What's that word? There are two words in the word reasonable. Reason and able. Able to reason. A walk of faith. Oh, get this. It's not original with me. I didn't invent this. I didn't create this. But I'm telling you, it's the truth. A walk of faith is not based on emotion. It's based on reason. Let me say that again. A walk of faith is not based on emotion. It's based on the ability to reason, to think something through. Jim, you had a question in hand.
Oh, just a comment. It's very clear that reason, thinking.
Yes.
But the modern translations don't use that word.
What do they use?
Well, it's your spiritual service.
Your spiritual service.
As opposed to reasonable service.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you wonder why a lot of Christianity is based on emotion.
Yes.
Yes. Being fed by these.
Yes, the translations that are clearly wrong. We had a real good discussion at one of our recent Bible studies. It was the study after the study. At our studies, we have a study before the study, then the study, and study after the study, you know how that goes. But we had a real, very, very interesting discussion after the study. And it had to do with just trying to discern how God is talking to you and leading you in your life, things like that and everything. And the statement that came up was something along these lines. It was like, well, but I feel that... So what was happening when you base what you trust and what you think God is doing, when you begin to decipher and discern that by saying, well, I feel that, what are you doing? You're basing it on a feeling. When that translation, like you said, talked about your spiritual service, so often the idea of worshipping God in the Spirit is misunderstood to be a reference to your emotions and your feelings. But wait a minute. Didn't God give us emotions? Are emotions bad? No. Emotions are not bad. But they are not to be the captain of the ship. They're not to be steering the car or flying the plane. Emotions are like the roller coaster, right? Up and down. Up and down. But a walk of faith is based upon the objective standard of what God's Word says. And then emotions may or may not follow. Let me give you an example. Let's say that your flesh wants to do something. And what it wants to do is something it learned to do on this side of the board. And your flesh wants to do it. And the Word of God says, you know, that's not so healthy for you. And spiritually, it's really not any good for you. And it has really bad consequences. It's not going to help you walk by faith or grow in your understanding of who you are in Christ. So my suggestion is, very strongly, maybe don't do it. So what does your flesh say? Well, yeah, but what about? Just for a little bit. I won't visit long. The barbecue's only going to be a couple hours. And besides that, it's before the big game. All my buddies are there. Kind of thing, right?
It won't affect me.
Kind of a thing. I'm strong enough to not, you know, go to the next thing. Whatever. What's that? I'll be a testimony to them. See that? See how our flesh comes up with all the reasons why. I know the Word of God says this, but so in this case, you decide, well, okay, God's Word suggests I probably shouldn't do that. Fine, I just won't do it then. Fine, I'm gonna walk by faith. I'm gonna show what a Christian I am. I'm not gonna go do that, and I'm gonna be joyful about it. So see how the emotions. Listen, emotions will follow. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. Right? But that whole issue of be not conformed, don't let the old thinking process that was inside of us that we totally therefore gave ourselves to be the basis upon which we evaluate and deal with life. allow God's Word to get in us and therefore be the basis upon which I now evaluate and deal with life. It's a renewal process. It takes reason. It takes the ability to think. Now, why the ability to think? What does that imply? Reasonable. What's that imply? You know what it implies? It implies free will. Who said it? Choice? It implies choice. There is no such thing as a walk of faith apart from free will. We would just be robots. And there is no such thing as true gratitude apart from free will. Otherwise, it's just mechanical. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. See how ridiculous? I looked pretty stupid there, didn't I? Okay. Right? This is going to go viral for sure. Listen. A walk of faith. Gratitude. In order for those to be genuine, free will must exist. And it does exist. And God's Word is demonstrating the ability, the power that it has to get inside of someone who all they knew was this neighborhood. It was reality to them. It was their comfort zone. But then they're translated to this neighborhood by faith in Christ. And he says, "Now let me tell you about this new neighborhood. Let me tell you about the person that you live in now. He's your life. He's your righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful He is. Look at all the riches, all the blessings you've received in Him just by faith. And just little by little by little, let me just teach you a little bit more every day. A little bit more every day." I really like the way the illustration Jim used at the announcements about when God brought Israel into the land. And when you read when Moses tells Israel about to go into the land, he says, God says, "I'm not going to give it to you all at once. You're just going to get a little at a time. But that's okay." Didn't you like the way Jim said that? Conveyed that? Why would God tell Israel, "I'm not going to give it to you all at once. Just a little at a time"? How come? How come? Yes, we cannot. We can't handle it all. Even a little at a time, sometimes we can't handle, right? You know? God's loving care for us and our growth or edification. But just that simple process. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Turn back to Ephesians 4 and then let's wrap this up here. Look back to Ephesians 4. Let's encourage each other this week to just think about this process. And we'll talk more about it in the studies ahead. But just to think about a 3-step process, not 10 commands. There's just 3 here. And they're not commands in the sense of if you don't do this, you're going to fail and be doomed. Just 3 simple things. Put off, you see verse 422, that you put off. Verse 23, be renewed. That's verse 23. And the verse 24, put on. That's all. That's all we're going to do this week. Let's collectively, this week, as a local family of believers, and the folks listening on the internet, we consider you part of our family of believers, and we know you consider us to be part of your ministry as well, just collectively. We are with you, and you're with us, because we're all in the body of Christ together, right? This week, let's collectively think about that principle. We understand practically and have experienced the struggle in making that decision to no longer live in this neighborhood called darkness, and instead to live in this neighborhood called life, light, and life, by the way. We've experienced that battle. So how do we, on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis, make the decision that the barbecues really are a whole lot better over here than they were over there? They really are. How do we do that? How do we make that decision to, I used to be that, I'm now this, so walk over here. It's a process. You put off, which means you're aware that old neighborhood. So you put that off. But then you gotta renew your mind. Renewing the mind, the thinking process. What should we use to renew the mind? We should use, I know, the evening news, right? Right? Fox News, CNN, whatever. We should use all that. That'll renew our mind, right? I mean, that'll put some stuff in our mind, all right. It's not going to be this. Jim, go ahead.
And also, this is a little bit more subtle than not the Christian radio.
You know, that is so true. What Jim said is you got to be so aware of even Christian radio because there's so much bad doctrine on Christian radio. We were talking about Psalms and why we enjoyed so much the songs at conference because even some of the traditional hymns, I mean, some of the modern songs with sound doctrine. Many of y'all saw that thing going out on Facebook this week about that quartet. What was that group called? Do you remember what it was called, Denise? That quartet Anthem Light. And those four men that did a medley. It's called a medley, right? When they put together the old hymns. Wow, that was good stuff, you know? And a lot of the comments that some of that younger generation made that were part of the ministry here, they said, wow, this really brought up in our heart how much this stuff's in us, and that's what it's supposed to do. So you have to be aware of even Christian songs, Christian radio. You've got to be aware of that. You have to listen with a discerning ear. It's the Word of God used to renew your mind, and then, therefore, you make a choice to put on. Put off, be renewed, put on. Then it closes with this crazy illustration. How many of y'all have, and I'll speak to the guys in particular, because my guess is it's probably more so the guys, the husbands. How many of y'all have like an old either pair of pants or blue jeans or t-shirt? It's worn out, it stinks. It's just dirty. And you still have it. Are y'all afraid to raise your hands because you told your wife last week you got rid of it finally, right? You know, how many of y'all have that? You know, all the guys have their hands up. Man, okay, why do you still have that? Because it's comfortable. It's just so comfortable, man. Do you get the illustration? This old neighborhood is just so comfortable. It's what we know. It's where we were raised. It's where we grew up. Almost uncomfortable clothes. Okay, I'll throw those away. But not that comfortable t-shirt and those blue jeans. They're all worn just perfectly. You know? You get the illustration. So we put off, be renewed, put on. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we're thankful that you tell us here in your words, exactly the reality of what's going on in life out there. And even more important than that, you told us the reality of who you have made us to be in Christ. We thank you that you wrote this down in your words so that we not only have the mind of Christ, but that we can learn to think with and utilize the mind of Christ. And we do pray to that end that we as a local family of believers, collectively, individually, and again, those that are listening by extension on the internet, the Pow Talk and the live feed, the video, and others who will listen to this message as well, that they too, with us, as members one of another, would seek to grow in your word and edify one another in love. Just a simple response and an appropriate response to grace. And we'll thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen.